And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear. That was awesome. David Stelzer, the AzureStandard.com. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock, tomorrow is the hearing with the county. We're going to find out whether you get to be organic or not. Not allowed. You got weeds. We got to carpet bomb you and spray you and crop dust you because. Okay. Well, we're going to find out tomorrow. When we come back from vacation, we'll definitely have David on. You know, maybe not next week, but the week following week, and we'll get an update on everything. So I'm on it, man. God, I can't believe how many emails and phone calls and stuff to cover that. I'm like, okay, this is of interest. And the governor's office in Oregon is getting hit. So they're like, oh, let's go have us some fun. All right, here we go again. Same kind of thing. You know, okay, I remember we were at the New York Bitcoin Conference a few years ago. And, it was probably, 14, I think. And it was, they just come out with the New York Department of Financial Services saying this about that. And they said it was Benjamin Losky. I remember he was the guy going, oh, I love me some Bitcoin. No, come over here and be my buddy. And we're going to kind of and frog march a bunch of you and arrest you and, put you in jail and kind of you're going to have to do business with. Well, what happened, a lot of these developers, they went out of the country or they put on their sites, thou shalt not do any business in New York, screw them. Okay, and it's in the battles going back and forth and back. Well, there's a gentleman, Theo Chino. He said, "You know what? There's got to be some way that we can address this, get it in court, have a say, and kind of." And I file, papers, and then we're gonna decide. Now, when Morpheus, it comes to the attention of the Bitcoin community, and you got FBI and Treasury and DEA and Department of Homeland Security and County Sheriff and local Scottsdale Police and everything to go in, they go, aha, look what we found. You were a felon, back decades ago, and you had a box of ammunition, and we're going to make your life hell. Unless you turn over kind of like stuff and people and Bitcoin. I'm going, something weird is going on. When we started publishing this, all of a sudden cases from all over the country, people say, yeah, you think this? Well, look at this. So I'm looking at it. Well, they got to decide. If they want to prosecute, we want to rock and roll, let's rock and roll. Is it a commodity? Is it a currency? Is it what? Are you going to ban the technology? Is it just not government approved? What the heck is going on? Well, way down the road, Theo Chino, and he has his own attorney, Pierre Sirik, hopefully I got that right, and they're together. I got both of you on. Were you able, Theo, to get your attorney on the line with you?
Yes, he should be here with me.
Pierre, yeah. We got you?
Hi, good morning. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, everything's great. 5x5. Okay. Now, Theo, I remember talking to you weeks ago. You brought it to my attention. I'm at a child's birthday party, and I got the connect. I go, ooh, there'll be one over here on the side of the yard. You can tell me everything. So we talked for a little bit, and I'm just going, yes, this would be an awesome show. So, Theo, from your perspective, was I pretty right on the Bitcoin license thing that the New York Department of Financial Services and Benjamin Losky and his shenanigans wanting to make a name for something? Tell us what came across your radar and what you did about it.
Well, I mean, you explained it pretty well. I mean, the thing is, I started a business. I was minding my own business here in uptown Manhattan. I was trying to stay away of the Bitcoin community because I wanted to dive into the technology, and I wanted to learn about it and not be sidetracked, and suddenly they announce on the paper there is this thing called Bitcoin and there is this regulator that wanted to regulate because Mt. Gox. And that's when I started discovering that there was something happening on the regulatory space.
Okay, and let's go ahead and explain some of those things to the audience. Mt. Gox was a game. You bought and sold funny money tokens, gaming cards, whatever the heck it was, and out of Japan, I think. Well,
yes. They
used that platform. Somebody got into Bitcoin to go, hey, man, we'll do an exchange with you and so on. Well, one of the first things in Bitcoin is you're your own bank. You don't have a third party that has your passwords of number of something. That wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. But it provided liquidity, and people wanted to, you know, buy and sell, so that was a place to do it, and they did it. And these guys, there's no regulation in Bitcoin. There was no, you trusted them with the number, and they said, thank you for playing. It's ours now. Well, this is a big controversy. And you go, see, that's why you need regulation of regulation. Well, the regulation was you taking care of your own private keys and your own self and be your own security. Don't be stupid and give it to somebody else. Well, that's the banking. Banking is no trust us. Well, right when the government says, and it's ours now and give it to us because we have ultimate and he's not allowed to have any money, and then they give it to him. Well, Bitcoin, you can't do that unless you give them control over your account. That's what happened with Mt. Gox. That was what the lesson was for everybody in the Bitcoin space. Don't do this. This is why we have Bitcoin, is to not trust somebody else with your money. Don't do that. Well, that was the excuse that they were using. We got to regulate it because it needs to be regulated. Well, you were mining Bitcoin?
At one point, yes, I was also mining Bitcoin.
So you saw the technology as a free. Why were you so passionate about it? Why did you care? You're just getting started in it. You just saw this as something needed to be done. What was your motivation?
Well, it's if you look at the code itself, it's a wonderful piece of technology. It's the first time in the history of computing that we could transfer value from me to you directly on a piece of wire. I mean, that was like wonderful.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, brother. But I mean, I'm wondering how it is that you go, okay, they're going to do this license thing. Did you find it surprising that nobody was challenging it straight up, and you're the guy?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I waited until the last moment. I'm like, who am I to go challenge the state of New York? I mean, there are people who have more money than me. I mean, they should be out there. And I waited 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 45 days, and eventually, I'm like, well, we're filing because nobody's doing it. We'll see what happened later.
Okay, so this was, what, in 2014 you did this?
2015, October 2015.
Okay, so you have, you know, 15, you're going at it. It's been a little bit. At what point did you hire Pierre?
Oh, I think it was 2016.
Let me take that. So, Theo filed what's called in the technical legal jargon, a pro se complaint, meaning that he basically filed on his own without an attorney in October 2015, essentially, I think a week before the deadline, because it's a very short period of time in which one can challenge a newly introduced regulation. I came on board about a year later when the New York State Attorney General, who is the attorney for the Department of Financial Services, filed what's called a motion to dismiss, which meant that the Department of Financial Services was asking the court to basically throw the case out. And that's when I came in, and then we went through a whole bunch of motions since last fall.
How did Theo do? I've been a pro se litigant, myself. Argued oral argument before the Ninth Circuit on election stuff. I'm just, I got an argument, man. I'm going, ooh, pound
my fist.
And so I get it. But the thing is, I got to ask, when you took this over, Pierre, how did Theo do? How'd he do?
I got to tell you. Attorneys obviously must do everything by the book, of course. So when I picked up the initial complaint and the exchange between him and the New York State Attorney General, his
Now we're going into break. Hold it right there.
Cool.
Everybody's on
he did pretty good.
Yeah, they're on the edge of their seat waiting to hear all the story. We'll be
this
back.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollar is being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819. And let's get started today.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. And me, Ernest Hancock. It's really easy to do. This is how you do it. You go, I declare my independence. See how easy it was? No government form. Well, you're trying to go out there and be free, free from the man and be free. You know, and they say, no, you must have a license to be free. So I want to ask Theo Chino's attorney, Pierre Sirik. Pierre, am I saying it right?
Yep, that works.
Okay, no, I mean, Sirik, is that how you say it?
Yes, that works.
All right. See, everybody says that, you know, it's your name, man. You get to say it the way you want. I just need to know. Okay, so this is, Pierre, I wanted to, we were asking you how well Theo did right at the last second. Yeah, he did okay. I mean, it was you know, someone that, you know, wanted to make sure something got done. I empathize. I mean, you know, I sympathize. I've been through this. I'm going, you know. Yeah, that somebody, you know, that somebody's got to be me because nobody else is a somebody. I'll be somebody. And he just, you know, and he did it. So were you attracted by what? The issue, you know, hey, you pay me. Did you approach him? I mean, what's your interest in this case?
So basically this is how it happened. Well, Theo and I know each other from way, way before. After Theo got the answer or the motion to dismiss from the Department of Financial Services, he showed me these papers. His complaint was actually pretty good. He pretty much covered all of the angles. So I was obviously impressed for somebody who is not an attorney to just, you know, throw the first monkey wrench into the Department of Financial Services.
Which court is he in?
Which was pretty good. So
which court is he in?
So this is in New York State Court, because when you challenge a regulator, a state regulator, you must go before a New York State judge. And it's actually called, it's a very arcane, New York is a very arcane system. So you have to basically go through a lot of the rules.
Is that code speak for corrupt?
No, I didn't say that.
It's
a lot of jurisprudential stuff. It's a lot of case law. There is not a lot of, you know, you don't have a code with a lot of rules. You have to basically look at a lot of the case law to do this. And one thing that really attracted me, the thing that really triggered my attention, was in the motion to dismiss from the regulator, they did not take his challenge as a done deal or as they took it seriously. You could see it between the lines in their response.
Yeah, they were waiting for somebody to
stroke me. I'm like, wait a second, they're not throwing this off the side of the road here. They really are taking this seriously, and they're really struggling to respond.
Yeah,
and that in a lawyer's eyes was like, wait a second, I do a lot of regulatory challenges against regulators. I'm not an expert in Bitcoin. I'm not I knew nothing about Bitcoin when Theo approached me. But one thing that was very apparent was the regulator was struggling.
And that, in an eye of the law, in the eyes of the lawyer, really tells you something about the fact that their position was not. They were struggling with it. So that really was my interest in the case.
They don't want to define stuff. So, they need it defined. You got to put it in the box. You know, let me ask Theo. Theo, when you did this, I mean, did you have legal experience before, or did you just went to the court and said, you know, can I do this myself? Give me the I can do it myself manual. And I went through it, and then you go and you read the civil rules of procedure. I can do this. And the attorneys go, you can do that? Yeah, didn't you ever read this book? No, but if you do that, the judge and the prosecutor, they get mad, and you're not allowed, and you probably shouldn't do that. Yeah, but I did it, and what are they going to do to me? I don't have a bar card. I mean, you know, is this kind of your experience? Tell me about the process of you going through this and how you learned how.
Well, there is a great book. I mean, I'll give props to Nolo Press in California. There is this self-help book about the law, and that was like 20, 30 years ago I discovered them. And basically that was when I went this time for the pro se. I had gone pro se once before against American Airlines because someone paid a ticket with a stolen credit card, and they wanted me to pay back the money of the plane ticket. And I didn't know it was a stolen ticket, and the only way I could get it off my credit report was to sue American Airlines. And it was just at the moment they went bankrupt, so that lasted for years.
So you have some
legal
experience.
So I learned a lot about the system at that moment.
Okay, so you decided, but why was this of such concern? I mean, did you embrace the technology? You thought it was good for a lot? I mean, you felt that you were on the right side of this thing, and what did you, your perception of this bit license, is it going to kill something in its crib before it had to change? I don't understand what your motivation was.
The motivation is, unfortunately, I'm a New Yorker. I've been living here all my life, so I was the one that couldn't go back home somewhere. So this is like, where do I go? Why should I leave my home? And that's what my motivation at first. And the technology is so great that we don't know what it can do. We have to let it explode to figure out what that technology can do.
And yeah, the man wanted to get control of that. Okay, so your motivation was blockchain technology you could see, or was it Bitcoin itself or cryptocurrencies in general? Are you, you know, an anarchist, libertarian, leave me alonist of thou shalt not cross? I mean, what's your philosophy?
Everything. It's like it needs to be left alone. There is no point. This is the rule of math. This is. There is nothing you can do. My motivation that is like this. We need to be able to compete against each other. We need to let this to be something primal. And that's how I felt. I felt like the regulator did not understand what the technology was, and they were looking at only one side of the application and not everything, what it could do to people, to leave them alone,
So you're a believer, right? Has Theo made you a believer, Pierre?
So, number one, he did. Number two, one thing that's important here and about what just Theo said is Theo was, in fact, launching a small business based on Bitcoin transactions. So he was in the middle of this whole setup when, in fact, the regulation essentially killed his business. What Theo basically is saying is, well, a lot of people that are developers or that are involved in Bitcoin, when they saw the regulation coming in, a lot of them were either had the flexibility of moving or were corporations that could easily, you know, move from, you know, one state to the next, which is in fact what happened. After the regulation was promulgated, essentially all of the businesses, usually large businesses that were involved in that technology, essentially left New York. Well, Theo is a small business. He can just take his luggage and pack. So essentially, he was basically sitting there stuck, and his business was essentially taken, how do you say this in English, the rug off of your feet or something like that?
Rug from under your feet.
And basically he was left alone without, essentially his business was killed by the regulation,
And so the net result of this regulation, either it kills the business or it forces people to get out of New York, which is in fact what happens.
More when we come back.
Left New York,
Pierre Sirik and Theo Chick, you know, when we come back.
Politician to represent me.
Yeah, no, it's heartbreak, man. This music starts 30 seconds, they push the button, that's just the way it is. Now, what we'll go ahead and do, we have two more segments. Now, like, I kind of got a bead on, you know, motivations and how you guys got where you're at and so on. What do you think, Pierre? Is there some details that have come out so far, or they're just, you know, it's not dismissed yet, and we got in any kind of arguments? Have there been papers going back and forth with responses and replies, and, you know, where are we at on it?
So at this stage, which is very common, we're into procedural issues right now. We're not at all yet about the core issues, which is whether or not the central issue of all of this is, does the regulator have the power to regulate Bitcoin? That's the central question. Once we get to that central question, that's really where the crux of the case is at. Right now, we're into procedural maneuvers, essentially, through motions, which involve whether or not we can do discovery, whether or not, what are the grounds, the technical grounds to dismiss, whether or not Theo, for instance, is standing to sue the regulator. So all of these are probably going to take a while before we get to the central question here, which is, is Bitcoin something, an object that the regulator has power to regulate? Which, by the way, across the country, is really a big open question. Some states have actually taken the stand that Bitcoin cannot be regulated, and some other states are taking the stand that, yes, Bitcoin is something that should be regulated.
Well, New York is a unique position because all all banking goes through Manhattan, kind of thing, and that's why they're kind of focusing on New York. And this is a, you know, there isn't a branch of any bank of anything that doesn't have some, you know, ones and zeros going through New York, and they claim jurisdiction over everything. So certainly as an international, you're dealing with any kind of banking system. So what do you think their goal is to claim jurisdiction over a new technology, to stop it, to slow it down, to get it government approval? I mean, what's their stated goal?
We suspect that the regulator was concerned that Bitcoin was essentially a tool for criminal activity.
Now, that's what they always say.
Right, exactly. But if that was it, you go to the penal code. The penal code, both at the federal level and at the state level, has plenty of tools to go.
Bad guys use cash.
Whatever you want to do. The BitLicense was not a criminal response. It was a civil response using the, you know, regulatory scheme to essentially choke a new technology. So if, in fact, the goal was to, you know, stop criminality, then use the right tool from your toolbox, which is the penal code. Whether you go with the feds or with the state version, instead of essentially choking up a new technology, which is essentially what they did.
Okay. We'll come back in 40 seconds, and we'll go ahead and, you know, kind of these two segments, the one things that I want to make sure we're clear is, what's their stated goal? Do they even know what their goal is? Is this procedural delay while we're trying to figure out what our position is? I mean, have they made a statement? You have to, you're not allowed to because of something. I'm trying to determine what kind of law they're trying to make.
Well, they're trying to basically, the
okay, well, that's the answer that we're looking for when we come back. We're coming back, and we'll start off there. Here we go.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Okay. All right, New York Department of Financial, we want to rule you. They want something. I'm not even sure what it is. Do we know what it is? Yeah, Pierre Sirik is Theo Chino's attorney on this Bitcoin license thing that Theo is challenging. Now, I was in New York at the New York Bitcoin Conference right about when this was all going, and I remember, you know, they didn't have any love for Losky, Benjamin Losky, because he was kind of, oh, I'm your buddy, I'm your bestest buddy, and I love Bitcoin, and I loosened my tie, and I hanged out, and we partied and everything, and now we're frog marching people into the jail and kind of be afeard of us, and we're the ones and regulate, and where's my special interest money or something. And I'm going, what is the goal? Who are they carrying the water for? What do they represent? Is it central banking? You know, is it Bank of America? Is Goldman Sachs want to have the Goldman Sachs coin .gov? I mean, you know, what is really the issue? So I ask Pierre, the attorney, you know, Pierre Sirik, have they made it clear what it is that they're looking to accomplish?
Not quite. The statements that the Department of Financial Services always made is that they have the power under their current authority to regulate basically pretty much whatever they say is of a financial nature. And that's not quite what, first of all, the statutes say. And second of all, we're saying you can't just invent what you're going to regulate. At the very least, either Congress or the New York State legislature is the one that should tell you what to regulate. You can just invent what you want to regulate. And so that's basically our argument. But as far as the real rationale as to why, I mean, we have some suspicions still, probably have some ideas about this, but they've really not made it obviously clear other than to say, look, we have the power to regulate whatever we want. Basically, what we consider to be of a financial nature, if we decide that is falling under our purview, we basically have the power to regulate. And that's what we're fighting.
Now, just the attitude and the philosophy of if you can call it, name it, be it, do it, use it, and people can't, we can regulate it because the sun sets on it or something, you know, and you're going, I don't know, it's ones and zeros, it's encryption, I'm not sure you can kind of touchy feel it. Nope, it's cut, you're making use of, you're not allowed. Well, Theo, what do you think, man? I mean, you know, you kind of got to get some kind of a feeling from what it is they're trying to accomplish.
Well, it's 2 years later. I mean, Losky, I mean, overreaching, double-dealing Losky, like I like to call him, because he regulated, then he left the department, then all the lawyers that worked on it left the department, and tomorrow, I mean, next week, in like 5 days, speaking at Consensus. I mean, that tells you something.
Okay, wait. Speaking at Consensus, what's this?
Consensus is it's the CoinDesk blockchain now conference that will happen in New York.
Oh, so Losky's going to come up and explain it to everybody?
Yeah, basically they have a panel on regulation, and Losky is there explaining as himself, as a Bitcoin lawyer suddenly, or a blockchain lawyer.
Oh, so he's not with the government anymore? He's in the Bitcoin space?
Yeah, he left the day before the regulation was promulgated. And at the time he said, oh, I will not do anything with Bitcoin. So, I mean,
they created I know exactly what to say. They created their own special interest to revolve door two. I mean, you need. We're going to create this regulation threat, and then I'm the guy that did it. And guess who you want to hire to navigate you through? And then we can shut the door behind us and the monopoly of. And Theo's not allowed. So saith Ben. You know, this is how it's done. Sure as hell in New York. So I'm. You know, all right. We know what we're up against. All right. Well, let's ask Pierre. Pierre, do you think you know what you're up against? I mean, you're up against they, them, those, man. Are you starting to feel it?
Well, a lawyer always feels it every day. But here is what's kind of peculiar about this particular case. When you challenge a regulation like this, and when you have a regulator in front of you, you know, usually when you go to court and you deal with a dispute about, you know, a house or money or anything like this, civil cases, the vast majority of cases get to be settled. You cannot settle a case like this. There's got to be a winner and there's got to be a loser. Which means that someone is going to be a loser at the end of this, and whomever is losing is going to essentially appeal, which means that this thing is very likely to basically go through all of the appeal steps involved in New York and maybe all the way up to our own famous U.S. Supreme Court depending on how the procedural situation develops. But this is not a, you know, quick fight that you kind of settle out of court real quick by, you know, coming up with an arrangement, you know, on the eve of trial. This is going to be one of these things where there's going to be a loser, there's going to be a winner, and it goes up. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you're going to be. This is going to get some. Now, this is kind of polarizes the industry too, or the space, because I know a bunch of people go, "Yes, and boss, how high do I got to jump to be in your good graces of?" And there are a lot of companies are going, "Yep, and we'll be getting us a license." And what do we got? And they don't even know. You know, so I'm wondering, in the Bitcoin space itself, you can kind of see there's probably a line. You got industry wanting to get along, go along, kind of whatever, and we make money, and we're from the financial industry. I work for a bank, and now I'm here, and I'm a regulator that's an attorney or something. And then you have everybody, you know, philosophically, that were like, "Oh, I get individualized. I can do money, and I'm my own bank, and I'll take the responsibility and suck it, and I can move $1 million for a buck, and kind of you bite me," and you know the man doesn't like that. So in the Bitcoin space, do they know about this case? Are they on your side? Are they helping fund it? Are they doing bake sales for you? I mean, what's going on?
Well, I don't. To tell the truth, on that sense, it's polarized. I mean, you have the people who want to have the regulation, because, like the Winklevoss brother, who needs the regulation to present their ETF.
Yeah.
And on the other end, you have the small business community that don't understand the legal ramification, and so they prefer to leave. And I don't know. I mean, I am very much in my own bubble, and I don't know what's going on outside, except that I know they don't invite me to conference to talk about regulation and what I'm doing. They're inviting overreaching, double-dealing Lasky. But they don't invite me to be in front of
them. Oh, good point. Okay, now this is, you know, what happens, man? I mean, they always want to monopolize, and I got the lawyers and fill out the paperwork if I can do whatever, and Theo's not allowed. You didn't get the right paperwork. You don't have as many lawyers as we do. So they're, you know, shutting the door after them. They get in, and they eliminate competition. It's just another monopoly of money. And I'm going, yep. So you're like holding it off of us going down the same road we did with the Federal Reserve. How about we just call it Fed money, you know, Fed crypto or some crap like that. Is that what you fear is coming?
Well, if I could just interject real quick.
Please.
The same thing that's happening in this Bitcoin world is essentially very similar to what happened after Dodd-Frank was passed after the financial crisis, because in a way the very large banks could see that Dodd-Frank, with its regulatory burden and its enormous apparatus of regulation, was in fact a way to compete very effectively against the small banks, which really were struggling to come up with the same apparatus to comply with the regulation.
Yeah.
So very often, regulations become of course they become anti-competitive tools. Absolutely.
Yep.
Another example.
Yeah. No. And this technology just so makes them not necessary. But you got to take some responsibility, which is the point. You know, if I take responsibility for my security, my money, my, then you know who do you complain to? Nobody. You know. Well, it's going to be a free market of options on money. We'll see where it goes.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Okay, the final segment. We're going to be discussing. I want to make sure you guys get in whatever it is you want to make sure we get in. What do you want to get in?
Oh, well, the Bitcoin Foundation has set up a page to help me raise the money to pay for Pierre. That's the plug.
You know, that's kind of interesting, that Bitcoin Foundation. Were they trying to get, you know, back into street cred or something?
Well, the thing is, I cannot do this alone. I'm a small guy. I mind my business, and that was it. That's how he all started, really. And after everybody thought that answering the regulator with their paper was just enough work that they needed to do, they didn't realize there was a whole set of things that could be done in court. And it took several years for them to understand it.
Okay, I'm looking for who's championing this. I mean, you got Bitcoin Foundation. We'll do a fundraiser. That's good. I'm glad that. How's that going, by the way? I mean, are you getting contributions, a little Bitcoin here and there to help you out? What's going on?
Yeah, we're getting a few contributions here and there, but we still need to talk to them to formalize the process. We're still flying by the seat of our pants.
Okay, you're claiming new ground here. Is this taxing? I mean, because there's not a lot of precedent. There's not a lot of case. Well, I guess there is when you got central bank. I'm sure there's plenty. But you know, Pierre, or is this a big giant effort taking up all your time and resources and 15 gazillion paralegals, or it's just like, well, we just got to wade through all these motions of everything?
Okay, so as I mentioned before, New York is its own very arcane world. So we basically have to go through, you know, a lot of those motions. It's basically a lengthy process. It doesn't really, you know, this does not require an army, but it certainly is,
You're not sitting on your hands.
it's a peculiar process to have to go through all these motions, which, you know, I'm sure, because you've been a pro se plaintiff, you know how it goes.
Is this administrative law? Is this statutory or administrative?
It's actually a mix of, essentially, it's all of that. It's basically a lot of jurisprudence, it's a lot of case law, and it's a lot of statutory interpretation that gets all mixed in, which makes these regulatory challenges so challenging, in fact.
Wow. Are they starting
the bottom
to bring
line
in
of this is, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just wonder if they're bringing in, all right, we're coming back, we'll talk about it more, here we go.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
And it's on! Oh, yeah, we're going to do some battling and whatnot. Because it hasn't been decided. I mean, a new technology like this comes in and says you're not allowed, and then what does the man do? While we headbang and rock and roll and whatnot. Okay. Now, Pierre, I'm just, you're going through the process. It's ouch quit it, new motion. You got another so many days to, you know, respond, and they get a reply or a reply response back and forth, and ouch quit it. And they're not done yet. I mean, is there going to be another one? Are they set in trial? Are they getting ready?
We have many. Yeah, we have probably most of the rest of 2017 is going to be engulfed in these motions, which is pretty typical of how these cases go. At the end of the day, as I mentioned before, the real question is whether this regulator has the power to regulate something like Bitcoin. And fundamentally, the reason this is such an important case, I think, it's from an industry standpoint, it's even more than from an industry standpoint beyond Bitcoin, which is, you can always argue that regulations are good or bad.
You know, everybody goes on the two sides of the debate. Lawyers, you know, are very often on both sides of this. But one thing here that's very clear is you cannot just have a regulator that decides to regulate air because he decided to. That's the fundamental question.
Oh, hell, that's what they do all the time.
Okay, well, here, this is a kind of one of those examples which is crying for a response because you're dealing with this new technology that has so many promises, and in fact, right now, is not really going anywhere. Everybody argues, well, you know, the adoption is not great because, you know, people are shy about Bitcoin. I don't know about the value of that argument. Fundamentally, it's pretty clear that the chill imposed by the regulator has a lot to do with the fact that Bitcoin is basically not really adopted anywhere.
You know what it does? I tell you, it makes everybody go pirate. That's what happens. It just puts it underground. You know, people just deal with and kind of just, this is a perfect example of you want to change, you know, you want to get away from all the regulatory and the government, kind of just make them obsolete. And I think that's what they're starting to realize. They're just obsolete. And I'm wondering how they're going to position themselves. It seems to me like they're just trying to do a delaying tactic. They're just injecting a little bit of fear. They're not, you know, because this technology, you know, I asked Theo this. I mean, Theo, do you see, it doesn't matter what they do. I mean, you want to be able to have a, you know, upfront open business and kind of not worry about, you know, they come get you. But, I mean, they're not going to be able to stop this technology, are they?
I don't think so. No, they're not. I mean, look at what happened. When I started, there was only Bitcoin and a few other piece of technology ICOs, but now there is Ethereum, there is Bitcoin, they're trying to change the name of everything, blockchain, Ledger, DLT technology. The underlying piece is growing the way it should be. But the thing is, the next inventor, the small guy, cannot play with it without fear of someone knocking on their door, because if they do something wrong, someone will come knocking on their door.
Yeah, and define wrong, man. Nobody put gun to anybody's head. I'm just wondering how this.
You don't know. They say, oh, he does Bitcoin. Basically, he's a criminal. So he must be doing something wrong. We need to go check him out.
It's always like that. If they don't want to, it threatens the man or the monopoly of the special interests of the government, regulated, whatever. Well, obviously a criminal, you know, uses that. You know, we should outlaw cash, which is what they want to do. And this digital cash kind of threw a monkey wrench in their plans. They're like, damn it. You know, yeah, we wanted to go digital, but we wanted to go, we control it and we're the third party and we can take it digital. And they go, this is we can't take it, yeah? Well, people be like, free and crap. We can't have that, you know? So you're challenging the very asset. Why did you know when you first did this that, you know, because nobody else was doing it, and that when you first did this, it was going to be a thing? Like, that, it was going to be a thing?
No. I went and I'm like, I'm living it day by day. And it's every time there is something new, I mean, encryption, the whole encryption thing is also another one. And this is coming out, if you remember, FBI versus Apple.
Yeah.
This is coming out of New York as well. And so I'm taking it day by day by day, and we'll see tomorrow what tomorrow is.
Yeah, I think this is a much larger, it's the individual versus the state. You're like Maximus in Gladiator. You're like William Wallace in Braveheart. You're V in, you know, V for Vendetta. It's always the individual versus the collective. You're Frodo. You know, the power, just going to throw it in the fires of Mordor. You know, I mean, it's always the individual versus the collective. And man, if this isn't a neon flashing example of it, that will go on. And it's always the one guy. It's always the Neo in the Matrix. There's always somebody that says, no. And then you got an old friend, you know, coming, Pierre, going to help you out. Well, I'm wondering, you know, you need resources. We got to do fundraising. Is there something? And Pierre sitting there going, hell yeah. But I mean,
I'll let you respond to that.
Well, yes, Pierre is a very good lawyer. I will say I cannot say anything bad about Pierre. And yes, I'm looking to for help. I mean, spreading the word, letting them know that, you know, letting people know that they can fight this through me now, because unfortunately I'm the only one in the system. and the fight is not lost. But we need to get to collectively go at it and do it together. And then after that, we can all go our merry way.
Okay, now the other thing is there's the controversy inside Bitcoin of which technology and how it goes and the features and that and all that. Is any of that addressed in your lawsuit? I mean, it doesn't matter. You go, yeah, that's all very interesting. Doesn't matter. You know, we don't need government regulating. They don't even know what the hell it is because it might change tomorrow anyway. So they want to have a big, giant umbrella of, you know, like, you're like doing stuff you like and being free and stuff, and you're not allowed because. I mean, you know, let me ask Pierre that. You know, is that kind of the impression you're getting? What's their overall argument? Just we rule or we love the customer or we don't want free? I mean, I don't understand what their lead argument is when this goes to the newspapers.
So it's a great question here. The regulator basically argues, or at least Lossky has argued, that if there is any risk that anybody could be ripped off because of some criminal dude in New York using Bitcoin against the consumer, the whole argument was consumer protection. We're going to protect the consumer from these bad Bitcoin people.
Because they love us.
That's the argument. Beyond this, what it raises is, I think, what you said earlier about the development of new technology. The cat is out of the bag, number one. And the problem is the cat cannot be put back, or the genie cannot be put back in the bottle, which raises an enormous set of questions for all of the system. Where does the debate belong as to how to, A, to control this, number one, and B, how to, and C, where should even the debate take place, if there is a debate that should take place? Well, right now, the only place it is in a courtroom in New York. That's it. Because all of the other states are, in fact, attempting to find a response, and they're struggling with it to the point where at some point in time, if there is no real ability to shape the debate, where is the debate going to end up? Maybe in Congress. Because at the end of the day, how can you have the definition of monetary instruments defined by a bunch of regulators, probably in conflicting ways, because at some point in time, Congress is going to say, hold on a second, we control the financial instruments. You guys don't.
Okay.
So at some point in time, all of these debates may, in fact, end up being thrown around between maybe states, Congress. We don't know where the debate – we don't have an answer as to where the debate should take place.
Okay, I tell
you
what.
We do have an argument.
I was sitting on the stage of Paul Snow at the Texas Bitcoin Conference, and we're there in the morning of and going. We're having the discussion of how it's going to be used and different examples of and everything. And then it goes, and well, let's talk to the lawyer sitting next to me. I go, whoa. If I have to worry about what Chuck Schumer or any other politician or lawyer has to say about it, it's the wrong tech. I don't care. If it doesn't matter. This is international forever and always math, as Theo would say, and this is worldwide, and there's not a freaking thing. Just the fact that just New York State tried to do this, and it blew up in their face. And the big thing is we all learned what? It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter what they say. This technology is done. Done. Then, you know, are they going to get on the rat side of it, try to delay it, scare you as Goldman Sachs comes up with their own coin or something? I mean, I can feel this. It just doesn't matter what you or the regulators or anyone else says. That is what's got them scared. And they're going to have to come with some negotiation with math somehow. I don't know how they're going to do that, you know, but hey, this is great. You guys, hold on a second. I want to talk to you a little more. We'll be right back. Judy Mikovits, next hour.
Understanding your credit score.
All right, Co., I'm glad we got this up. What's the next timestamp of roadblock of hurdle of when we're going to know something?
We have currently a bunch of motions. There may be some debate taking place, or at least a hearing taking place on June 8th. This is going to go on. There's probably going to be multiple hearings on the procedural issues probably throughout the summer and into the fall. And then at some point in time, the judge is going to have to scratch her head. Her name is Judge Billings, and she's going to have to scratch her head and answer the question, what exactly is Bitcoin, and can the regulator regulate?
She goes, hell, I don't know. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me.
Yeah, well, actually, in fact, a bunch of other courts have spoken about this. One federal court in New York already said something about that, and one court in Florida, in fact, said, we shouldn't touch Bitcoin.
there's already a lot of influx and conflicting.
You know what
I see flying around.
You know what I see coming, and what I'd like to see is kind of, you know, they go, well, we don't define, and kind of, you know, and finally the realization that it just doesn't matter what they say. You know, this is, I remember in the early days, I've been covering Bitcoin since, God, man, it's the beginning, 9, 10. I mean, you know, back when it was, you know, a dollar or something. In my first Bitcoins, I got it $3. I got one of the original Casatius coins that I got for $3 and something that's now worth, you know, an ounce of gold just out of numismatic value. You know, now Bitcoin's worth more than that. So, you know, so I'm going, oh, man, I get a couple $1,000 for this thing. Has the misspelling of the word and everything in it. I got a good get. Well, I've been covering it all this time. What happened? When they started jerking around with Charlie Schrem and Eric Voorhees said, Panama. Then, you know, and I'm in Europe. And the technology is going kind of in the U.S. can suck it. And it doesn't matter. There's not a damn thing they can do other than going quantum computer of we solve. And then the miners will use quantum and kind of the battle's on again and kind of bite me. So I don't see, is that being addressed as part of the PR at all, you guys? I'm just wondering, they're going, look, you can say whatever. You don't get it. There's nothing you can do in the end. I mean, does that argument hold up
at all?
Well, in the end,
we have to, you know, lawyers and clients of lawyers have to, you know, play by the rules. The problem is to change the rule. That's what the struggle is to say you've got to go back to the drawing board on your rules because your rules are not working here.
They're not able to work. That's my point.
Right.
I'm going to encryptly send ones and zeros from here to there, and there's going to be 15 gazillion ways to do it. I can do it physically, in person, not online, back and forth. God, this technology, and it's out of the, it's universal. It's the first, you know, it's like silver. I mean, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, electronically. I mean, it's just everywhere, and there's not a damn thing they can do about it. And I go, they, you know, who are they? Let me tell you who they are. They're those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. That's who they, them, those are. And I know how I can tell who they are is the ones that won't leave me alone. It's that simple to me. And they can't bother me if they don't know. They just can't. And I'm going, what happens when you can't? Can't. Well, they threaten guys like Theo and going, well, you're trying to be open and advertising on Craigslist of what happened to our friend Morpheus here. They come after him with a warrant, say, I own Bitcoin and all derived from Bitcoin. They thought they were going to get some opium den cartel of freaking marijuana bales of something, and they got nothing. So they don't even want to charge them. They're going, yeah, we're just getting for the ammunition charge or something. I'm going, this is, they will not leave you alone, but they're seeing that there's not a damn thing they can do in the long run. It's a delaying tactic.
Yep. Look, at the end of the day, it's hard for me to say where the fundamental debate should be. The one thing I can tell you is, this is not a debate that belongs in the regulator's hand without some form of other bigger debate to take place.
Yeah, you need at least a definition, a word, a statute, a law, somebody, something. But then it's like, you know, this is how the laws work in government. This is how it works. It goes, we regulate and control everything that we can. And you go, well, you can't Bitcoin. Yeah, but we want to say we can anyway. Okay, well, you can say that all you want. You know, so, I mean, it's math. So this is a unique kind of, I'm wondering if anybody's making the argument, whatever the hell you think you're regulating, it changed 14 times from the time that you started this. You got to redefine it. This is, Theo, you the man, okay? To see this in the future, what this was really about, and to have and go, it always takes Neo Theo. Oh, I got a new name for you, man. It's always the one, you know? You're the one. You know, Neo Theo is Theo Neo. Yeah, Neo Theo. I like Neo Theo. All right. You got, man, I got all kinds of new artwork ready for you, man.
Thank you. Thank you for the endorsement, I guess.
Hell yeah. It's always that one guy. It's all, you know, Pierre, as time went on and you got involved in this, and I'm sure he was talking to you about it, and then it's like, hey, man, I need your help. I mean, did you get a lot more respect for your friend? You go, yeah, man, he saw what's what.
Of course. I knew how persistent Theo was from before. I knew that when he was onto something, he would not let it go. And it actually shows here. I think there's these moments where, you know, you have these moments of vision of like, oh, this is like one of these things that creates a movement in a way. and he saw it, he grabbed it, and I'm just the lawyer trying to, you know, argue the law around it, really.
Okay, Theo, I got to ask you this before I let you go. There is some kind of, you're supposed to apply to something. Did you get some kind of a licensing thing?
I applied for it, but I didn't have the money, so I asked for a waiver for small business.
Well, how much was it?
The license is $5,000 just to apply.
Oh, snap! That's exactly what they wanted to do. It's a monopoly of cutting out the little guy that could do it for freaking nothing, and we don't need people to do it for nothing. You got to have permission slip or something. Okay, so if they get this permission slip, you know, this license thing, does that, like, let you do whatever you want, or now you're under the regulatory or you're not allowed?
No.
The
consequence is, the consequence, once you're in the system, assuming that, you know, you've been properly vetted and approved and let go.
Then you got to have all the attention. Oh, we lost the line. They just dropped. All right, call them back and just say thanks, and we'll get them in a couple. Go ahead and schedule it again. Find out if there's another court date or something. We want to do that. Awesome. All right, well, we got to get ready for Dr. Judy. Let me see you push the button. And Dr. Judy, I got you there. Wait. There's something I want to do. I want to call. Yeah, you can close that. That's all right. I'll put this up. I want to call Theo. Is this the number that you use, the 347 one right there? Okay, go ahead and call it. Because you said it was just says it's disconnected.
I don't remember what it said exactly. Let's just.
All right, let's find out. No, but I need to hear here.
Theo, may I help you?
Hey, Theo, Ernie, I just wanted to, you know, when we lost you, it's into the show now, but we lost you. Donna tried to call back and said it was disconnected or something.
Yeah, no, maybe. I don't know, dude. When there is a second call coming in at the same time and we were on the line, it goes into a disconnect mode. I need to fix that.
No, okay. I just, you know, I was sitting here going, "Ooh, they disconnected us. That's good." You know.
No. I hope not.
All right. Hey, thanks. I'll let you go. I just wanted to make sure you're okay.
No. Yeah. And you have a few seconds. I wanted to ask you about Morpheus.
We don't know any more other than what we had talked about before. I tell you, this is all we know. Well, we talked, you know, before. I went to the detainment here, and they were like, you know, no, he's a bad guy. You can't, and bad, and the world will come to an end if you let this Bitcoiner out. And so they kept him in custody without a parole, which is kind of weird in and of itself. And, without bail. And it's June 6th, I think, is what they set as the trial date starting. And they have, as of now, the warrants and all that kind of stuff is all about Bitcoin, but now they haven't charged him with anything relating to that. And they just have him, you know, a former felon in possession of a box of ammo. I mean, that's all they got on him. So I don't know how that's going to play. It's going to be interesting. We're paying attention to it.
So basically they have nothing else but the box of ammo?
They haven't charged him with anything that I know of.
And he's still in jail right now.
Yeah.
They're not letting him out?
No. He's an anti-government Bitcoin guy. He's obviously anti-government. He's anti-government.
But he has a lawyer, or what? How was it?
Yeah.
Because I was looking at the freedom lawyer that you were talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like so unfair.
Have two other lawyers that are sitting on the sidelines waiting, because this is all preliminary, blah, blah, blah. They're not really doing anything. And if the government, you know, public defender, the government wants to pay for that, you know, peace out. You know, that's kind of where
okay.
They're at. When they make it a Bitcoin thing, if they, depending on how they do this, is, you know, one, how you can raise money. They just opened up a raise money thing for them. There's, you know, other attorneys wanting, you know, do they do some of the groundwork behind the scenes and kind of take a, you know, reduced cut pay and helping the public defender because they don't know what the hell's going on, and she subcontract out to them, or they get some kind of something. Now they're dealing with that, and the lawyers are talking amongst themselves, and I don't care. You know that.
But he's sitting in jail meanwhile.
Yeah. Because
so,
the government wants
him
there. I mean, what's your question?
Does he want to sit there?
No, he wants to get out.
Well, I hope not.
No, no, this is what happened. The prosecutor comes up. See, Morpheus is, you know the type. They just hate paperwork. You know, well, you drove on a suspended license because you didn't pay the fine of the fee of the
drive,
you know, whatever, and it just cascades. It's one of those cascading things to where, as time goes on, he's like, screw it. I just, you know, ride a motorized bicycle. Well, they didn't like that. They go after him. You're going, you know, on a motorized bicycle, and you think you're free, and you're not allowed, and they pull him over. And he goes, hey, man, it's 49 cc's. It's under 50 cc's. It's not a motor vehicle. It's a bike, you know, assisted-powered bike. If you don't get, then I don't have to have a light and bite me. And they go, oh, yeah? Well, then he's like, go ahead. Not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. He gets off of that. They leave him alone. Then they sit around the corner with a radar gun waiting for him to go over 25 miles an hour. It makes him a motor vehicle. Boom, we got you. And do it. Then he doesn't pay the fee. Then he doesn't go to the trial. Then he's a guy that doesn't, you know, doesn't show up for court things. Then he had, you know, a felony back in the 80s of, you know, he didn't respect authority and, you know, threw a flashlight at a chasing cop of a whatever year and a half. You know, 30
years. Oh,
because he's that kind of guy. I just don't like paperwork. Well, then they go, see, he's a flight risk because he kind of this, and the world would be because 30 years ago when he was young, he'd be something. You know, it's just they kept, see, he doesn't
I
show.
See what it,
they just did it to keep him in jail.
So they keep, okay, no, I mean.
When they read the charges, it was like, you know, 3 minutes of charges of his whole rap sheet of every ticket he ever got. They even went like this. They said, he's a flight risk because he uses fraudulent documents. He presented a fraudulent document to law enforcement. Well, what it was his canceled, not even suspended, he just canceled, screw it, canceled driver's license. And he goes, nope, it wasn't. It was like a fraudulent document because it was an current, legitimate, whatever they said, and he didn't turn it in or something. You know, it has his picture on it, and it was issued by the government, but because it was canceled, it was fraudulent. Well, when they bring it up to the judge, you know, she didn't care. He was going to stay in no matter what anyway because that's what they wanted when they got five federal marshals standing in there.
Oh, well, wow.
You know, I mean, it's a game.
I know because I'm playing it here in New York versus Cyrus Vance. I mean, I'm trying to get people not to endorse him, and he's working. Like yesterday, he lost a vote. 26 people decided not to endorse him for district attorney.
Ooh.
And I'm going club by club telling them the story. I'm giving them the fact. I'm not giving them anything like he's a bad man or anything. I'm just saying, here are the fact. And they go, yeah, I think we agree with you. And they go, no, Vance. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, this is My whole thing is when they can't define what it is that they're doing because they don't know what they're doing. They can't define the technology. They can't define its use. They can't define their jurisdiction. They can't define it. It doesn't matter because this is one of the first technologies that has been universal, ubiquitous, worldwide, and totally ignoring of them. And they're trying to make themselves relevant by they buddied, you know, Ben Lasky buddied up to everybody and then stabbed him in the back and then goes and works for the industry. And I was just helping and now I can protect your monopoly if we got to get rid of Theo. And I've seen this. I know how this works out. So,
yeah, I know.
You know, Morpheus trying to be semi-clandestine, but you can't. He was marketing it on local Bitcoin, telling the community, I'll help you out. And would you? And then they go, okay, we'll see if we can get him into larger and larger and larger, you know, transactions to the point that they give him, he has access to this money. Well, what he did is a lot of the people, I don't know this for sure. I suspect. I mean, I haven't asked, don't know, don't care. But I suspect that a lot of the people that he was doing Bitcoin with, he got them together to, you know, in exchange for a cut or they get a percentage or just to help him out because they like him. They all pooled up a bunch of money for him to go do some deal with an agent of whatever. And then they got all that plus the cash and kind of screwed and just, you know, jacked up him and plus all these other people. And then, of course, anybody that had any Bitcoin in, they're worried if they're going to go after them. So they don't want, And I'm sitting on the sidelines, you know, just going, you know, I just want it defined. I want them to try and do like what you're doing. Okay, I don't care what you say. Just say it, you know, and they won't say it because they don't know.
No, they don't. Nobody wants to. I mean, nobody. They don't. It gets me mad when I think about it. The way they don't want to talk about it.
Of course they don't. I tell you what should, you know, surprise you and angst you more. It's the same thing that I went through. Doesn't anybody else see what's going on? And you get in the, you know, nitty-gritty of it, and then you start to quickly realize that the entire governmental structure and regulation and the law and prosecutors and everything, they're just the insulation to protect what really runs everything. It's just all a lie, and you don't have any control other than outing it and doing what you're doing. So I'm going,
exactly.
Well, Theo did this to, I mean, did you really think that the government was going to go, oh, thanks, Theo? They slapped themselves on the forehead like they could have had a V8, and they said, well, as long as you explained it to us. That's not what they do.
That's why I didn't even bother filing any paperwork when he was asking for suggestion. I mean, I knew, I felt it in my inside that it was ridiculous. He was going to do whatever he wanted to do.
Yep, yep, yep.
So well, the court was the only place.
So how is a Pierre, your attorney, just a longtime friend, high school friends, neighbor?
Well, no,
church?
Like you said, we met. Technically, we were on the other, on opposite side for many years. It would be, I would be a pain in the ass. He would be another pain in the ass, and we would circle the same places. And
on what issue?
Go, Pierre,
on what issue?
Election laws, things like that, because we're both French. So we go to those election thing where the French vote.
Yeah.
And he's on the other side. He was on the other side. I was getting someone elected. He was getting someone unelected. So I would go in, he would go out, or the other way around. It would, so it would, we would play this game for 10 years, you know, things like that.
So he and at least had respect for your, you know, your opinion and that you were serious and sincere. And he goes, okay,
yes.
I'm okay.
And one day I go, Pierre, listen, the state responded, and he looks at it, what did they do? And they gave me 30 pages. And he goes, 30 pages? Just that was enough to get him hooked.
You know, I've been through this before. What happens is you got a really good argument. One time we were working on a, you know, whether you should have mandatory auto insurance or not, and this gentleman made a really good argument on a lot of things, you know, involuntary servitude and, you know, how the territorial law, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it was really a creative way of going at it because he wasn't an attorney, but he was right. And the state came back, Attorney General's office came back with 2 5-inch thick loose leaf binders, man. I mean, it was freaking amazing. And of course, he went through it trying to answer. I go, don't even look at it. Your response or reply, whichever one it is, I go, it should be just, yeah, what I said before. Screw them. I mean, they just want you to waste your time. Don't waste time with that. Just go, yeah, what I said before, and be done with it. Well, he missed a deadline because he tried to answer everything. And that's what they do. When they do it to me, I didn't even look at it. I go, yeah, whatever. Whatever I said, I don't give a crap what they said. You know, I go, what, I wasn't clear? I'm clear. I'm jeopardized. I know it's, just go to the end. Skip to the end. Say it. Say it. Went to the Ninth Circuit, and they got them to say it. But, you know, then they change laws, and they make everything moot, or they put a stay on it until they fix it, and they call it something else and redefine. And it's all corrupt. And they're definitely going to do it on Bitcoin because it threatens everything.
Yeah, the moment, but the thing is, they will need to define it at one point, and it's not definable. The way they're defining it includes everything. I mean, your car. It doesn't matter what you do now. I mean, anything has value. So, I mean, they screw. In a way, if you read the law, they screw themselves
up. Is it okay? I recorded this. I wanted to call and get on the thing that it was disconnected or something, but I got you on. I'm still recording this. Is it okay? Or you want me to cut?
Okay.
Are we good? I mean, you want me to cut it out or what? Because I can edit it out later.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, no, what I say is fine. I mean, okay. I don't have anything to hide.
I didn't want to surprise you later, and you go, hey, I turned off the streaming and the video. This is just being the audio, but, you know, I just, you know, it's, Pierre, you know, he seems like he's in. You know, has he been a good guy on this?
Oh, yeah, he's absolutely been a good guy. I mean, he's discovering, it's funny because when he started, we're going day by day, so every day he discovers something new in the technology. And I'm like, Pierre, I know, I didn't want to tell it to you a year ago because that would have overwhelmed him. One day he gets, you know, he has to do the law, but he also has to learn the technology. And the more he learns the technology, he's like, my God, what are they doing?
Yeah.
And he realized, but it's interesting.
Now, today was a great day. I had In the first hour, a gentleman named David Stelzer that runs Azure Organic Farms in Oregon, that the government, the county is coming up and they're saying, you have weeds and we are going to make you use Roundup.
No.
on your organic farm. You have to use an herbicide because you got these weeds. We're going to make you. Well, now all of a sudden they have a town hall thing tomorrow in the county. The governor of Oregon's coming. They got all the attorneys of this and department of and everything because the people are freaking out that this 2,000-acre farm that's been around forever with organic food, you're not going to be able to be organic anymore because we say the way you're doing weeds, you're not supposed to. And I'm going,
really?
Really? Then the next one is you. And then we have in the third hour, you know, on the vaccine study in the Boston Herald saying that, you know, anybody that advocates for, you know, safe vaccines or whatever should be hung. It's a hanging offense. So they're having a big rally Thursday on that. I'm telling you, man, you know, the internet and so on, that's why they, them, those need to get control of all this ones and zero digital encryption of whatever, because we're just communicating with each other and, like, pissing them off and stuff, and you're not allowed to be free. Didn't you get your slave number, boy? Don't you know? You know, so I'm...
Well...
But...
No, yes, Wow.
No, it's not just you, man. It's everywhere. It's everything. And it takes Neo-Theos. Oh, I'm going to use that forever. That's good. Okay. It's going to be Neo-Theos out there doing this. You know, I'm going to have you back on just so I can call you Neo-Theo. Okay. So, Donna, we know to contact, you know, a couple of weeks we'll get, you know, kind of. Is there a motion that's out? Is there a hearing coming up? Is there?
Well, actually, Pierre just told me the next date was June 8th, but it seems that they're working. Pierre is working to refile one piece of the argument, and so they're redoing the complaint.
Okay.
And we were supposed to ask for permission from the judge on June 8th, and it seems like they're working out a deal where they're going to the state and Pierre are working out a deal. So.
So where they can refile the claim so that it includes whatever, right?
Yes, to do it because I did it pro se. So because now he's a lawyer, he's putting everything I didn't put.
Okay, now what was the time frame? When did he join your suit?
October. I think it was October 2015. 16, sorry, 16.
Oh, okay,
September, October.
Yeah, so he just wants to clarify, and he was they get a lot of leeway on that, you know, going from
exactly.
Okay, so you get, well, supposedly, I mean, that don't mean anything. But the, all right, will you please keep, thank you so much for reaching out, and I'm just glad to know that you're even there, and whatever we can do to keep pressure on this and it known, because damn, if you have any articles or the lawsuit itself, I mean, we published it. Did we put links to all your stuff?
I don't know. Yeah, it's on the website, Article 78.
Yeah,
against
Donna's got it all
NYDFS.
Up there. All right, yeah, Donna's got it all up there. You know what I'd like to do? Donna, can you take today's show and make a separate Bitcoin interview and kind of put it like, you know, not necessarily a media thing, but to link it in like an article, you know, so that it could be kind of separate, and do it for each of the three shows today. You know, each one of those are awesome standalones. And I just put the, when I put it in the upload in the media, just put the first, the second, and the third hour. And what I'll do is I'll take this conversation here and add it to the end of the other one. And even though I was talking about it in the third hour, they'll figure it out. But the so this is – okay, all right. See, I'm excited because I'm going on vacation tomorrow, and I won't be back for a week and a half. And I'm just like going, ooh, going to have all kinds of goodies to talk about when I come back.
Well, enjoy your vacation tomorrow.
All right,
well
thank
deserved.
You. Yeah, yes, it is. Hey, thank you for spending an extra time with me. I appreciate it, Theo. Neo Theo.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling me, and yes, I will try to continue the fight as long as I can.
All right. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Good luck.
All right. Have a good vacation. Bye. Bye, Donna.
Bye.